Well, as we hear this well-known story again, we hear heaven's announcements, heaven's excitement as it bursts into voice and declares the wonderful news. It's kind of like a very proud father. As you head down to Christchurch Women's, every day you see this, as you see the proud father with their very firstborn child, and there's that excitement. They are just bursting to tell anyone who will listen. That's very much what we see here in Luke 2, heaven's announcements. Yet as we come to Luke 2 today, for a very short time, I want to look again at these familiar verses and consider the very average and refreshingly normal shepherds. Now the shepherds, I want to get this clear, they weren't the blokes who were washing their socks by night. That's not what they're doing, as some people sing. But the shepherds were just normal blokes. They were farmers. They were looking after the sheep. They were watching the flocks by night. And in those days, what the shepherds used to do is lead their sheep. They used to walk out in front and lead the sheep from pasture to pasture. And then at night, they would sort of shepherd their flock into a little thicket and then sleep at the entrance in order to guard their sheep against wolves and thieves. And that's what the shepherds were doing. Just normal blokes out there in the fields doing their job, caring for their sheep. Yet, as you heard it read then, did you notice the radical transformation of these guys? See, in the opening verses, they're just normal blokes doing their job. Yet, have a look how the passage ends. Have a look with me at verse 17. We see how these normal blokes are now telling other people about Jesus. In verse 20, these men are now praising God. Well, what happened? What happens is they heard something and they saw something. Firstly, they heard. They heard God's message. From verse 9, we see an angel of the Lord appeared, accompanied with the glory of the Lord. That is, God's messenger came with God's approval. And the shepherds, they absolutely freak out. Just got a little theory why it's recorded for us. Quietly. Between sort of me and you, just if we can keep it in this room, I may be a bloke who's just a little bit prone to being scared or frightened. Just a touch. I reckon it's recorded here to teach us that real blokes get scared. That being scared is a mark of authentic masculinity. That's the theory I'm running with. But you can understand these blokes are terrified, and fair enough. This angel has come. What does the angel say? The angel's message is all about this baby that has been born. Verse 10. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. That is, this one, this little baby that's been born, is the Christ. This child is God's promised king. Do you get it? This is massive news. Yet, for us, we hear it and we think, whoop-de-doo. It doesn't really make sense to us unless we know that 1,000 years earlier, it was promised. See, to King David, who was the king over God's people, Israel, God said these words. It's recorded for us in 2 Samuel 7. But God promised that after you die, I'll rise up one of your offspring. That is, one of your descendants, someone from your line, and I'll establish his kingdom. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. God promised a king that will reign forever. He will reign over his kingdom for eternity. The angels declare this great news that this little child, this little one who was born today, is God's promised forever king. But also more than that, he is also the Saviour. That is, this little one is the one who can save, the one who can save us. See, in the Bible, God teaches that God made us rightly. He made us to relate rightly with him and rightly with each other. Yet, since the beginning, since even Adam and Eve, we all have. Every single one of us has adopted this "we know better" attitude. See, God says this is how to live. Yet we turn our backs and say to God, "We know better than that." And we turn our backs and instead we exploit, we hurt, we neglect, all because of our selfishness. And friends, this is the history of humanity. We live and breathe it. We see it all around. On a large scale, we see wars and violence and oppression and exploitation. But also on the very small everyday scale, we see it in ourselves. Our lust, our greed, our pride, our stubbornness not to let go, our lying to cover up. We see this in all of us. And the thing is, we can't stop it. See, even those that we love most, surely we can look after those relationships, but we can't. And even those we love the most and who are closest to us, we disappoint and hurt. And we're unable to stop our lust, our desire, our pride. And God says, if you want to ignore me, if you want to reject both me and my word, if you want nothing to do with me, then that is what you'll get. And he promises that the result is death and judgment for all who turn their backs. Yet, compelled by his love and mercy, God also provided a Saviour. He promised a Saviour. The one who can address this root cause, the one who can fix our stubborn and hard hearts. The one who can actually come and bring forgiveness and reconciliation, both with God and with each other. One who can deal with judgment. One who can save us from death. And friends, the announcement of Christmas, God's announcement here to the shepherds on that very first Christmas, is that this one who is in the line of David, this one who was born to Mary and Joseph, this one is God's promised king, but also the Saviour. It's massive news. But let's come back to the shepherds. Because they hear this message, and did they start praising God and telling the world? No, they didn't. They heard the message, but could it be true? They heard, but then secondly, they saw the evidence. And in seeing the evidence, they were convinced that it was true. Remember what the angel said? Have a look in verse 12. The angel said, "This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." A little bit weird. Then in verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Let us go and check it out. Could it be?" So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. They saw it. verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. Verse 20. They praised God for the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they were told. That is, they heard and they saw that it is true. See, when Christmas floats around again, and doesn't it sort of come around faster and faster each year, it's very easy just to get in the zone when Christmas comes. You know, the 1st of December, oh, panic, we've got to set up the tree, pop the decorations on. 2nd of December clicks around and you think, oh no, what year is it this year? What set of in-laws do we have to go to? What side of the family? Whose turn is it this year? And that sort of panic spins out. And then as we lead up to Christmas, we start to turn up the carols in order to get us in the mood. And around the house, we listen to the carols and we sing Silent Night, Holy Night. And as we're doing the jobs, we sort of get into the Christmas cheer and we sing, you know, do-do-do-do, Christ the Saviour is born. Hang on a second. Christ the Saviour. And we sing these words, Christ the Saviour is born. We do it each year, but do we think about what we're saying, what we're declaring? The passage of the Bible that we looked at just a few moments ago, as we're looking at it now, isn't just a lovely story, but as Luke writes in the opening words of his biography, he says that he has investigated, he's interviewed the blokes, he's gathered the details from the eyewitnesses, and he says that this is a reliable historical account. And friends, the Christmas message isn't just a lovely story each year, but it's an announcement of great news that God has kept his promise, that this child, Jesus, is God's promised King and Saviour. Friends, you've heard the announcements. In the carols that we know and love and sing, we actually sing of this wonderful news. But I want to ask you, is it true? See, the shepherds heard the announcement, but it wasn't until they saw the evidence, until they saw the baby in the manger, that they were convinced that God's word was true. For us, how do we know that it's true? How do we know that this one who was born in history is God's promised King and Saviour? Well, for the shepherds, they went, wandered down the street and checked out this baby. Yet for us, there is so much more evidence than what the shepherds had. So they went and saw the baby, yet we go and see the baby who was born with so much expectation. Yet we look at the evidence and we see that this child actually grew up and grew into the expectation and fulfilled the promises. This child who actually grew into a man actually taught, and we have it recorded for us, as he taught about himself and himself proclaimed to be the Christ, proclaimed to be the Saviour. Just listen carefully to what he says. As he taught about himself being the Christ, he says, the Christ will suffer, having been rejected by the chief priests and teachers of the law, and he must be killed. And after 3 days, he will rise again. And as we look in history at the evidence, we see that it happened, just as he said. And in his death, Jesus became our Saviour. And in his resurrection, he started his eternal reign as King. It's big news, isn't it? See, as we look at this story afresh, personally what I love about this account is just how normal the shepherds are. They're just normal working blokes. They're not religious weirdos. But we see that these men who are confronted by hearing the message and then seeing the evidence, they don't change into religious weirdos, but we see they are changed as their hearts are changed. And they just want other people to know the good news. They just want to praise God for what He has done. I want to say, if you're new or visiting with us, it's great that you're here. It may have been that a friend has sort of dragged you along. But I want to ask you something, and that is your Christian friend like the shepherd? Like the shepherds? I hope they are. Because at church, as you come along and get to meet people, you'll see that the church is absolutely full of people like this. Just normal people. You know, kind of normal. Normal people. Yet they praise God, they believe in Jesus, and they just want to tell other people about Him. Why? Because they've heard the news, they've seen the evidence, and they've been convinced. And this news has changed their life. If for you, as you sing the words, you sing them very easily, but you're not quite sure if they're true, I want to encourage you to look at the evidence, to actually read the Bible for yourself, the historical accounts of Jesus' life, the eyewitness accounts, and ask yourself, is Jesus the promised King and Saviour? Is it true? Look at the evidence. For if it is true, it's worth far more than just singing about it once a year. Like the shepherds, it must be that we are to praise God for what He has done. That the Saviour has come, we can be right with God. And it's natural that in knowing this news, then how can we not tell other people about this wonderful news? God's King, God's Saviour. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank You for allowing us to stop and listen to Your word and this wonderful announcement that this one who was born in a manger, Jesus Christ, is Your promised King and Saviour. Father, thank You so much that we can look back in history and look at the eyewitness accounts and see, as Jesus grew up, that He was Your promised King, that He was the Saviour of the world. Father, this is wonderful news, life-changing news. Father, we pray for those of us who this news is new or they're grappling with it. Father, we pray that they will look at the historical accounts and be convinced of the truth. And Father, we pray for those whose lives have been changed, normal people who have heard this wonderful news and believe it. Father, we pray that at this time of year, as Christmas comes around, that as they sing these wonderful carols, they will proclaim the wonderful news and praise You, for You have kept Your promise and provided our King and Saviour. And we want to give You great thanks for this. Amen.